Good morning.
Good morning.
As Pastor Bill said, my name is Emily Abbott. I have been attending this church since I was little. I was baptized here. I grew up doing the children's stuff. I was a part of the youth group, and recently I've been volunteering as a sponsor for them, and I had the amazing opportunity to go to Houston, which was, that was really fun. I was glad I was able to do that. I have grown up having a relationship with Christ, so fittingly, the hero that I chose was Jesus. If you can all pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning on this beautiful July day. Thank you for putting it on my heart to sign up and do this and to share my words with the church. And just bless those words. Amen. Jesus is my hero because of his unconditional love for not only me, but for others. He provides for us in the good and the bad times, and he remains loyal to us. He gave up his life so that we could be free of sin and so that we could know him personally. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you and nations in exchange for your life. Isaiah 43:1-4. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is talking to the people of Judea. This book is full of prophecies of what Jesus, about Jesus and what he will do. In this particular passage, Isaiah is stating what God has said he will do and what he has already done. Verse 1 is Isaiah talking directly to the Israelites. He begins with telling them to not be fearful, as they are worried because of being in exile. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. This is God saying that they are saved. The definition of redeemed is to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. God is saying to them that all their wrongs will be made right. He called every single one of them by name. He knows all of them. They are his people. Verse 2 is referencing the Red Sea and how God had made the path for them by splitting it. It also references Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, that they were put in the fiery furnace, but they were completely fine. This verse also shows that God will protect his people under any circumstance. Verse 3 is God saying he is their savior, which he is. He explains this by giving Egypt for their release and Cush and Seba in their substitute. He is showing that through him they are free. Verse 4 discusses how highly God views us. We are precious and honored. We are his beloved. Through his love for them and for us, he's willing to give up nations and people in exchange for their life. He does this to fulfill and assure them that they will make it back to their promised land. God is saying to them, I made you, I love you, I got you, and I got this. Just trust in me. To relate to this, in Colossians, Paul is writing a letter to the people of Colossae. He is explaining to them that Jesus is their Savior and has saved them all. In Colossians 3:12-14, Paul is explaining how we should act towards others to be more Christ-like. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have any grievances against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Again, it is stated that we are chosen and holy and dearly loved. Then it talks about the different characteristics we should embody, that we should forgive those who have wronged us, but most importantly, we should love them. As Christians, we are called to love everyone just as Jesus did. Even as Jesus was being killed, he loved those who were hurting him, and he forgave them. In Luke 23:34, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That is honestly amazing, because I don't think I could do that if someone was killing me. And that's something to strive for, is to just love like that. That's so cool. There have been times where in the moment I don't think much of it, but after the fact I see that God had just used me to be his hands. The most recent example of this was this past Monday. I was on my way back from a trip up to Seattle, and I was taking the flyaway back to Van Nuys from LAX. I had sat down and had the whole road to myself, and I was like, cool, this is going to be a nice bus ride. Well, the bus began to fill up as we stopped at each terminal to get back to Van Nuys. But this older lady walks on, and she was kind of loud, and I could tell that she was, like, upset and just kind of, like, flustered. And anyhow, she ended up sitting down right next to me. She explained to me that her flight had landed at 7 that morning, and that she was trying to find a way to San Fernando to go to a funeral. Well, when we were on the bus, it was 11, and that was when the funeral was starting. So she was upset because she wasn't going to be there in time. But we talked the entire way back to Van Nuys, and at the end of the ride, she told me that that was the best 45-minute conversation she had had in a long time, and she thanked me and was like, just bless you, you made my day. And God was so intentional with having me sit down next to her, or having her sit down next to me. And like, I just made her day that obviously wasn't going well. God placed me to love on her just by listening. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you." This is another verse that shows us how to be more like Jesus. To bring to others what Jesus has brought to us. If people loved more and hated less and forgave more instead of holding resentment and bitterness in their hearts, the world would be a completely different place. Jesus provides for us regardless. This is another example of his unconditional love. In times of need or setbacks, Jesus is with us. He supports us and uses those hard times to grow us as individuals. It is to strengthen us and to strengthen our faith and our relationship with him. During the good times, he's still right there with us, rejoicing in either a new job or a promotion or a new friend or reconnecting with old friends. We see his goodness and his glory during the good times. Even when we turn away from him, he still loves and supports us and doesn't count that against us. One of my favorite parables from the Bible is the lost son. This is from the book of Luke. This man has two sons. The younger one wants his half of the estate, and once he gets it, he leaves. He ends up making not the best choices and uses up all of his money and has nothing left. There was a famine and he was broke, so he worked to feed the pigs, but he was still starving. He realized his father's servants were taken care of and had food to eat. He realized that he had sinned against his father and he had sinned against heaven. And he wanted to become a servant for his father because he did not feel worthy to still be his son. He decided to go home. His father saw him coming and he ran to him. He ran to him because he was so excited to see his son, and he hugged and kissed him. The son proceeded to apologize for leaving and sinning against him. The father calls to his servants and brings the fattest calf, the nicest robe, rings, put sandals on his feet. He was rejoicing that his son was back. Luke 15:24, the Father says, "For the son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found." Then they all began to celebrate except for the older brother, who was upset because his younger brother had wasted everything and has this huge party being thrown for him when he has remained loyal and has worked hard. The father's response to the older son is saying, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours." And that is Luke 15:31. This parable emulates Jesus' love for us so well. We are all his sons and daughters, and he loves us so dearly. When we stray or fall off a little bit, Jesus is still loving us, awaiting our return to him. And just like the father in the parable, our heavenly father runs to us with open arms and is ecstatic that we are back with him, that we are alive in him again. Also, when the son remembers his father's servants are taken care of, that is similar to Jesus and all his children. He provides for us every day in little and big ways. We are all taken care of by him. I see the way Jesus provides and or protects us from certain things. Sometimes you have to be really patient, and other times it happens a lot more quickly. An example in my life of being patient and waiting for his timing is with my sister Grace. She is a blessing that I waited 12 years for, and I can't imagine her not being my little sister. Got this. She is a ray of sunshine, and she is God sent. God recently provided me with a new friend who I was blessed to meet at work. We share a lot of similar beliefs, and we have a good time whenever we hang out, and I'm definitely thankful for Jesus for providing that for me and for our friendship to grow. Jesus provides for me through his love, just as he provides for all of you. Jesus' death was for us to be saved so that we could know him. And there is a difference between saying you know Jesus and actually knowing him. In John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, Jesus is saying, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." This reflects the relationship between the Father and the Son. We are his sheep, and he did lay down his life for us. Jesus knows us on such an intimate level. He knows the things on our hearts we are afraid to share because of the possibility of being judged or viewed differently, or the things that hurt too much to even think about, let alone share. He knows every little detail about us and is still proud of us and loves everything about us. Jesus honestly just wants a relationship with us so that he can love and provide for us, and all he's asking in return is that we trust him and love him back. He has put us here to live intentionally and be his hands to do his work. Jesus loves us abundantly, even when we are not the most deserving. But isn't that heroic to have a love like that? The world is such a beautiful and magnificent place when we choose to love and live like Jesus did. Jesus is my hero because of his unconditional love for me and for others. This is seen throughout the Bible. Jesus wants us to love others because love creates unity. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, it says, "And if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have no love, I am nothing." We are nothing without Jesus and his unfailing love. He provides for us in the good and bad times and remains loyal to us. He is committed to his children, just as the shepherd is committed to his sheep. He gave up his life so we could be free of sin and know him personally. I am so thankful for him and the relationship that I have, that I am loved beyond compare, and through him I am free and provided for. A hero is someone that saves people. Jesus has saved millions, and he's also saved me.